Welcome this morning. Welcome, family. Welcome, church members. Welcome, everyone. Today is a special day. Every day is a special day. But today is a day that we honor fathers. Well, we call it Father's Day. And excuse me, I've got to have my little sip of coffee here. But for many of us, Father's Day means many different things. And people are out celebrating today, and perhaps you are. But then there's many people that aren't celebrating, and I should have brought my Kleenex. I didn't. It's okay. So if the tears start coming, sorry about that. Waterfall. Good to have you guys. I appreciate you all. Thank you for being here. And thank you for being on David Hebner TV. Thank you for being a part of the family. If you're not, please sign up. And you can watch this show live free. It won't cost you anything at all. And And I appreciate you all being here. All right. So let's get into it. Let's talk about this. What does Father's Day really mean? And this is a very personal message, probably one of the most personal messages I've ever given. It's a story about honoring a man who wasn't perfect. He was wrestling with hurt, demons perhaps, and a pain that was never really healed. But the grace that still runs deeper than regret. And when I say of grace that still runs deeper than regret, is that I know, I understand now what my father went through. But I want to relate to you this morning that the things I wish I would have said before I said goodbye. I'm saying this to you because perhaps you're in a situation where you do have a father. You can still make that phone call. You say, David, I'm estranged. My dad doesn't talk to me. Or my dad, he's drinking. He's on drugs. He's in another world. And I don't want to be around him. I understand that. I get all that. I don't know your situation exactly. But you have a chance to still make that call if he's still there. But maybe your father was strong. Maybe he was present. Maybe he wasn't absent or broken. Maybe you had a good nurturing relationship. And that's great because perhaps you can help other people. But perhaps you've struggled like me. You've struggled with unforgiveness. You missed your moment. You wish you could have that second chance. You see, my daddy, he wasn't perfect, but he was my father. He was the man that God chose for me to lead me through a life that has gotten me to where I am now with you. Your father, if you've had an earthly father, some of you haven't, we're going to talk about that. He wasn't perfect, far from it maybe, but he launched you to where you are now. You say, David, how can you say that? Please stay with me. It's a word that God gave to me. I want to share with you. Maybe it's not for everyone, but I think it's for many out there. My father wasn't perfect, but he was the man that God chose to get me to where I am now. This is the picture of my father. He wasn't perfect, but he was my father. I wish I had said more. I wish I had said more. We're going to talk about this morning, if you do not have a father, we're going to talk about the father that you always needed. There's many of you out there that needed that father. You didn't have that father. And you look back and go, God, I'm scarred. I'm wounded. Why didn't I have a father? Because remember, your scars, we talked about this in a previous teaching. Your scars are your testimony. You wear your scars proudly. You're a wounded warrior, but you're now healed. And your scars are now your weapons. But without going through what you went through, you wouldn't not have these weapons. Please stay with me. So good to have you guys. Black Cat, Bulldog, Kristen, Joseph, Aaron. God bless you guys. I'm so glad that you're here. I want to go to comments here and see how everybody's doing. Happy Father's Day. Let's see. I have a father. I love them dearly, but we don't talk as much. Let's put this one up. Ronald says, I have a father. I love him dearly, but we don't talk as much, but I do call and get a text back. Ronald, thank you for sharing that. I was in the same situation, Ronald, and I didn't realize that the time was clicking that my father would go away. I thought he would always be there. You see, I had a good father growing up. As a young kid, he was always the dad on the block that would take the kids to play football. But as time went on, life beat him down, and I watched him from a distance, and his mind started going, and he started worrying. He didn't exercise. He just sat on the couch, and the demons started attacking him. But I didn't know that. I didn't understand this. You see, what I saw in my father as a child, I expected him to be as I grew up as an adult. I expected him to treat me the same way as an adult as I did as a child. Why? Because he looked upon me as a child and he mentored me and he knew he had a responsibility. But when I grew into an adult, maybe he thought he didn't have to mentor me as much anymore. And that's okay. And that's probably good. But you see, I, as a grown man, expected my father to yield and treat me like I was a child, but I wasn't a child anymore. I was a grown man, but I had expectations on my father, which could not be achieved. Your father is a father when he was young. And when you were young, he treated you a certain way. But when you grew up and you became an adult woman, an adult man, you expect your father to treat you the same way, to show the same patience, the same grace, the same. No, because you're now a grown person and we forget that. Let's see what... Janie says, Janie, I think, is it Ireland? Somewhere, UK. Here and ready, happy Sabbath. Happy Sabbath to you too, lovely people. God bless you. Best wishes from Scotland. All right, so good to have you. She was on Underground last week. If you guys want to go on Underground, make sure you get that link, okay? And you can only get it. You can only get it if you sign up to David Hebner TV, okay? All right, let's see what Lori has to say here. I have no contact with my father. I do not have a phone number or address, and it is by his choice. I love him, and I pray for him constantly. I pray for his salvation as well. Lori, we're going to be praying for you this morning. I believe there's many Loris out there that have a father. You have an earthly father, but he doesn't want you to contact them. So we think. There's a lot of pain, a lot of hurt, and I don't know your situation, Lori, so I would not ever try to say that I did, because I would not. But I'm speaking in generalities, please. But just because it's your perception of rejection that he doesn't want you doesn't mean that's the truth. It's how we perceive it. You see what I'm talking about? All right, so let's get into it. I have six kids. What do you want, Daddy? What do you want for Father's Day? So they say, I don't know, cigar, socks, gift card, coffee. I want to talk about what I believe a father really wants for Father's Day. I'm talking about a father that knows God. But first, before we talk about that, I want to ask, what is a father? Really, or what was God's intention for a father? You see, before we can celebrate something, don't we have to really know what it is? And this is the message that God gave me I want to share with you. What is a father? You see, we've been brainwashed by religion and society as to what a father is. And like I said, maybe you didn't have a father growing up, and maybe you did, but he wasn't available. Or maybe he's just gone, and now he's passed on, and maybe you don't have the father anymore. Maybe you have a father with not a good relationship. And it doesn't matter whether you had a good relationship or a bad relationship with your father or no father at all. The fact is, it doesn't change the question, what is a father according to God? If we're going to celebrate something, don't we want to celebrate it in accordance to what God designed? I prayed about this, and God told me, he said, David, the church system, I'm talking about the apostate, the religious system, has perverted what a father really is. Society has corrupted the idea. I wrote a song many years ago. It's called Seven Chairs, and it goes kind of like this. Seven chairs around the family table, only six fulfill their need. Daddy, he's gone to the Lord in heaven. God help us if you're able. Maybe today there's an empty seat at your table. Your table has a seat that's not occupied that you wish was occupied. I want to talk about that empty seat. This could be an empty seat because your father is gone. He's passed on. This empty seat could be because your father doesn't want to take that phone call. He doesn't want to talk to you. That empty seat could be because you never really had a father, but the fact is, you're looking over, you're hurting, and there is an empty seat at your table. Can anyone relate to me? Today is a day of joy and of praise and thank God for fathers, but there are many hurting people out there. And I want to address the hurt. No matter what kind of earthly father you had, it could be a, what you would call a great perfect father. Though I don't know there are really any perfect fathers. But good, broken, absent, it doesn't matter. What is a father? You see, God, the Father, is the perfect example of what a father was and always is meant to be. His love can heal. They can heal the earthly father wounds. They can restore identity and rewire what fatherhood really means. If we just look at God and see, God, what is the Father? What does that mean, a father? But here's the issue. It doesn't matter whether you had a good father, a bad father, no father. This is the issue. We all fall in this category. Most people either mirror their earthly father or they reject him. Let me say it again. Most of us either mirror our earthly father or reject him. Oh, he looks just like his dad. Oh, he acts just, oh, she, you're just like your father. But God never called us to live by a mirror. Let me say that again. God never called us to live by a mirror. We don't mirror anything. A mirror is just a reflection. God gave us a blueprint. Some mimic their father's good or bad traits, and others spend their lives trying to not be like their father. But both are reacting to men. You see, when you look in a mirror, you're just looking at a man. You're looking at yourself, reflecting. Are you made in the image of God? Yes, you are. In the image of God, a blueprint of God. It's not a mirror of God. You see, God calls us to be fathered by Him, to receive identity from Him, not reaction from men. There was a rich man that had a party. Very wealthy, had three children. They threw a huge Father's Day dinner for this rich man. And as they sat at this table with all of the friends and the party and at this huge table with tons of food, along with the three children, they gave him gold watches. One gave him a Ferrari in the park, in the driveway. $2,000 suit. All three children showered him with expensive gifts. The rich man, he seemed a little not there exactly. As if he was waiting on something, on someone. And then all of a sudden there was a knock at the door. And the rich man goes to the door of his mansion. He opens it, and there stands a young man, not well-dressed, just average. The father smiles at this young man and says, "Come on in. Son." The three children were shocked. "Who is this guy?" they said to their dad. And the dad looked at each and said, "You know, kids, I had a relationship before I met your mother. And there was a child that was born. I want you to meet your brother." They were in shock. They didn't know what to say, didn't know what to do. It wasn't that they were in shock because, well, they found out their father had another child. That wasn't why they were in shock. Do you want to know why they were in shock? Because he didn't look like much. They looked in the driveway and they saw this old beat up Volkswagen. The young man standing at the door all but had rags on. I mean, it wasn't rags, but it was just... he wasn't dressed up. It wasn't nice clothing. He didn't look like he had much education. So the kids went on to the back to the table, eating and drinking with their friends, drinking the wine, having the food. As the father found himself in his study, in the back room, by himself, and the young man who came to the door, his son, came into the father's study, and he looked at the father, and there was an empty chair. And the father said, "Would you like to sit down, son?" The young man sat down, almost as if he had tears in his eyes. And he says, "Father, I see great wealth here. I don't fit in. Daddy, I don't have anything I can give you on this Father's Day. I have nothing I can give. but I have everything to ask. The father looked. He said, "What, son?" And the young man said, "Daddy, I want to know more about you. I want to know all about you. I want more of you, Father, because you live in me. I want to live in you." The father, with tears rolling down his cheeks, got up and hugged the young man. He said, "Son, this is the greatest gift you could ever give your father." You see, as a father, I want to be more like my heavenly father so that my kids will be more like me. And by default, they will be like my heavenly father. I'm not talking about religion. Not talking about that. I'm talking about relationship. I'm talking about being real. So what's my father's character? What's his personality? What's his traits? You see, the church doesn't, most of the apostate church doesn't really understand the father. Therefore, they've created a cotton candy Jesus. You see, the way this works is God created the world and the world created their own God. And this is where we are right now. And this is why I do Last Evangelists. This is why I do the ministry. This is why I exist, because people have bastardized the true character of the Father. How can we ever celebrate Father's Day to our Heavenly Father if we don't want more of the Father? If we want to play religion, play denomination, play tradition. The disciples said, "Show us the Father," to Jesus. He said, "What do you mean? Show you the Father? You've seen me. You see me. The Father is in me. I'm in the Father. When you look at Jesus, you see the Father." I'm not talking about the Six Flags over Jesus, cotton candy Jesus. I'm talking about the real Jesus, the warrior, the king. Let's go to Scripture. Before we go to Scripture, I'm going to go to some comments here. See what people have to say. Let's see. Okay, Robin says, let's put Robin up here. "Ours was a toxic relationship and he was a functional alcoholic for years. He called me saying, 'You must hate me.' And I told him I loved him and forgave him long ago. I said, 'Find your place with Jesus.'" Robin, that was a blessing for you to be able to say that to your dad, because before it would have been too late. So let's see what else we got going on here. Let's see who else is in chat. Let's see. I'll cover that, but yeah. Okay, so this is what Julie says here. "I love my dad, was blessed with a great one. He once told me to never fear because I would always be protected. I believed him then even more than now." Julie, God bless you for having such an amazing dad who would take care of you and honor you. Okay. So let's go to Scripture here. Whoever's seen me has seen the Father. If you've seen Jesus, but I'm talking about the real Jesus, but not many people have seen the real Jesus. 14:9. If you've seen me, you have seen the Father. So what does that mean? Let's talk about this. If Jesus is in you and we are in Jesus, because Jesus prayed to the Father in the garden before he went to the cross, Father, I pray that we can all be as one. What part of one do we not understand? There's only one. All as one. So if Jesus says, when you're looking at me, you're looking at the Father, the only way to the Father is through me, and Jesus is in us, therefore, that's how we get to the Father. Therefore, when people look at us, are they looking at the Father? Yes, they are. It doesn't matter whether you're a woman or a man. You are looking at the Father if the real Jesus is in you. The question is, do we really know the real Jesus? I mean, I know we're hungry for it, but what have we been fed? What have we been fed? You see, we are the fatherless until we accept Christ. Then we have a father. But many people think the fatherless is just children running around orphaned. Well, yeah, metaphor. We are. We're orphans. We're little abandoned children until we grow up, accountability, we accept Christ, and then we have a father. Therefore, though, we are fatherless. So what does Psalm 68:5 say? A father to the fatherless, a judge of the widows, is God in his holy habitation. What does this mean? This means that God is your father. This means that if you have been abandoned by your father on earth, he is a father to you. You have a father. But when you look at the Father, you must see the character, the true character of the Father. I remember I was at a football game. My dad, when I was a teenager, went to high school, Durant High School, and my dad would always dress in this overcoat and this hat, and he would carry an umbrella, and he popped him a big bag of popcorn. All right. And he would walk to the football game. We'd have a football game. Now, I wasn't playing football. I was kind of a prodigal, juvenile at that time. I was rebelling. But, you know, I never wanted to walk with my dad because he looked weird. I said, Dad, you got on a raincoat and you have an umbrella, and doesn't look like there's a cloud in the sky. What are you doing? He goes, well, it might rain, son. You never know. I said, okay. Whew. Big old bag of popcorn. I'm talking about a grocery bag, not one of these, little bags, big bag of popcorn. And he would always stand down there right next to the yard lines watching the plays, play by play. He would keep an eye. He loved football. He would be down there. And I remember sitting up the bleachers one time. We were passing around cherry vodka, like a bunch of juveniles. And I was sitting with these guys. They were classmates. And they started pointing to the guy down there in the football field watching. They're pointing to my dad. And they started saying, oh, you see this guy down here? He's a fruitcake. Yeah, he escaped from the mental institution. They started making up all kinds of lies about him. Say, oh, yeah, he walks the streets at night yelling at people, and he does all these crazy things. And I had to sit there and I had to listen to them assassinate the character of my father. Until they just did it one too many times, and I stood up and I said, you will not assassinate the character of my father. You do not know my father. I am my father's son. I am his child. I know how he thinks. I know what he eats. I know what he breathes. So if we could defend our earthly father that way, how much more could we, should we defend our heavenly father? Your father in heaven is a father to the fatherless so much that he allowed his only son to die on the cross for you and I. We did not deserve it before we were even born. He loved us so much that when Jesus was on the cross, that your name crossed his mind. So, seven chairs around the family table, only one fulfills their need. I mean, only there's one empty. I wrote that song. Empty chair around the family table. But God has a table. And God's left a seat at his table for you and for me. You see, God's not the one that left. God is the one that runs to you. I want to go to Luke 15, 20. Luke 15, 20. The Father runs to the Son with no judgment, but with restoration and identity. He brings him a robe, a ring, a shoes. The Son has repented. But there's something else going on I want to talk about. Let's go to that, Luke 15:20. The Father arose and he arose and came to the Father, but when he was yet a great way off, the Father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. How do we know how to celebrate Father's Day until we understand the Father of Father's Day? So this table that the Father has, there's a chair. Are you ready to sit in it this morning? Are you ready to sit at the table of the Father, of the Heavenly Father? Because I promise that if you do, all other things will come into fruition. Perhaps you're confused. Perhaps you don't know why you got put on earth with a broken, dysfunctional family. Perhaps you were abused. Perhaps your father passed away. Perhaps your father was there, but he was never available for you. Perhaps. But right now, as you take the seat at the table, God's been waiting. He's been waiting for you all this time and this morning. You see that seat at God's table? That seat is for you. It's got your name on it. You say, David, how can this be? Let me tell you something. The same Father that allowed his Son to die on the cross for you is the Father that's sitting at his table, and he's saying, child, take your seat. You see, the best gift my child can give me is to see them not at my table, but sitting at the Father's table. Because when they're sitting at the Father's table, they're sitting next to me, because I want to be at my Father's table. You see, too many people are celebrating an earthly father, Father's Day. We need to first celebrate the Heavenly Father's Father's Day and sit at his table. Not of religion, not of tradition, not of denomination, but of relationship. The same Father that put his Son on the cross and loved you so much and loved me so much is at his table with that empty chair saying, please sit. Perhaps you're a father, perhaps you're a mother. Whether it's Father's, Mother's Day, it's all the same. The best gift you can give your child is your relationship with the Father. And child, the best gift you can give your father is your relationship with the Heavenly Father. You see, David, I've known God for a long time. I pray the prayer of salvation. I know you have. Maybe you have it. Maybe you're going to pray it right now. But have you sat at the table of the Father? Have you sat with him? The young man that came to the rich man, and he was a child born out of wedlock. He had nothing to give the rich man, though the rich man's other children gave him all kinds of gifts. But that rich man, he was not satisfied. He sat back in a room back in his study, withdrawn, until the young man, his son, who had nothing to give, said, "Father, I have nothing to give you except me, except questions, except the fact I want to know more about you. I don't want to know more about what the church tells me or what, you know, religion tells me or what denominations. I want to know more about you." But to do that, we have to stop going every Sunday morning, sitting in the same pew, Sunday after Sunday, doing the same thing, expecting different results. It's called insanity. We got to stop that. Stop sitting there and start sitting at the table of the Father. Because it's then that he will communicate with you and I. When someone sits down at a table to eat, you start having conversations. That's why people break bread. It's a time of building relationships, a time of understanding, a time of sharing stories, but yet we've never sat at the Father, at the table of the Father. Many. But this morning, we are. This morning, we're sitting at the table. So right now where you are, the Father's table is right where you are. We're talking spiritually. Right where you are is the Father's table, right in front of you. I want you to see that table. This is Daddy's table. It's the heavenly table. And the Father is saying, "Would you sit down, child? I've been staring at this chair for a long time, and it's been empty. Would you sit down in it? I'm your daddy, I'm your father. I want to hold your hand. I want to heal your hurt. Right where you are, I want you to sit at the table this morning, Father. People are sitting all over the world at your table. They've known you for a long time, but they've never really spent time with you. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste, glory divine, heir of salvation, purchased by God. I've been purchased by God, and so have you. Born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. Sing this song with me. This is my story. Sing it. This is my story. This is my song. I'm praising my Savior all the day long. Yeah, this is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. All over the world, there's people going to church and they're worshiping and praising Jesus, but they're not sitting at the Father's table. And I know the Father's heart's got to be broken.
next time. Jesus said, "You've seen the Father if you've seen me." But how many of us, when we look at Jesus, we see our Heavenly Father? Perfect submission. Perfect submission. Perfect delight. Visions of rapture now burst on my sight. There's angels descending, bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. Will your story be that you're now sitting at the Father's table, dining with the Father, wanting to know more about the Father? If it is your story, sing it with me. Yeah, this is my story. This is my song. Praise my Savior all the day long. Yeah, this is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Folks, God has a table. Maybe God doesn't need our singing right now or jumping around. He just needs for us to sit with him, to sup with him, to look at him, to say, God, I want to know more about you. I need to know more about your character. I need to understand you more. I just want to be with you and you alone, in Jesus' name. Perhaps you prayed the prayer this morning, said, David, I prayed to God. I've never done this before. I prayed to God that he would save me. Praise God. And if you prayed that prayer or you'd like to pray the prayer, there's no such thing as the Lord's prayer of salvation. It's just saying, God, I know I'm a sinner. I've been convicted. I know I'm a sinner. And I know that you sent your son to die for me on the cross. And I hereby believe that. I accept that. And I'll do everything I can to follow Jesus. Like Jesus said to the thief, today you'll be with me in paradise. When the thief said, would you remember me? You and I are thieves. That's all we are, is thieves on a cross, until we turn to God and say, God, would you remember me in paradise? If you prayed that, your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. Congratulations. I'm going to bring Shanita on and see how she's doing this morning. Good morning. How are you on Father's Day?
Well, thankful to be able to celebrate you, and so grateful for my upbringing and for my Heavenly Father. And I guess that you've brought out the beauty of Revelation 3:20, that when he stands at the door and knocks, he comes and ministers to our physical needs as well as our spiritual and emotional.
Amen. He really does. He does. You know, and we come from all walks of life. You know my situation with my dad. I was a pighead, ignoramus as an adult. I did not understand what my dad was going through. Now I do. I kick myself and I go, Lord, how could this? But, you know, I don't really kick myself. I know God's forgiven me and I understand all that. But still, you have these feelings, right? You can't ignore the feelings. You had a dad. He's still here. You have a good relationship. There's people that never had dads. There's people that were abused by fathers and they're confused about their authority figure. So we all come from different walks of life, but Shanita, the message this morning was, none of that matters. We must sit at the table of the Father.
The Father has an empty chair for each and every one of us. Now, I'm sitting in that empty chair, and God's revealing things to me that I need to know. He's revealing to me that He's given me, that He understands that I was cold toward my dad. He understands me. That I assume if you're sitting in that chair, He's going to be telling you things that your dad, earthly dad, couldn't give you, that you have an understanding of. And everyone has a chair at the table. I want to bring on my son, who I'm very well pleased, David Jr. Good morning, buddy. How are you?
Morning. Really good.
Good. I don't know if you had a chance to listen to the sermon, but if you did, if you have something you'd like to say.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that was really good. I think it's awesome how you brought out, you know, how we focus on our physical father during Father's Day, but it's like, hey, what does it look like for us to really lean in and lock in with our Heavenly Father? Because ultimately, like, it's like, man, is it ever more important for us to, for us to be healed with our paternal, our earthly father relationship? Like, that is so ever important, but even more important to have that, like you're saying, sitting at the table of our Heavenly Father, it fills every void. You know, even what you're saying about how you kind of kick yourself because, you know, that relationship with your physical father, it's like the Lord actually removes that shame and heals that shame as you receive identity as a son with your Heavenly Father, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. You see, what I am today, whatever that is, and where I am today, and how I am today is a direct result of my dad, of my earthly father. God assigned my dad to me. He wasn't perfect, but he was my father. But I wish I had said more. You see, God has a design. And even if that design doesn't go exactly the way we think it should go, or he always uses these things for the good to keep us on track. But at the end of the day, I'll see what you all think about this. There is too many people are looking or sitting at their own table, looking at an empty chair, saying, I wish my dad was here. I wish my mother was here. I wish somebody was here. If we take our eyes off of our table and we step over to the Father's table, it's His table. And He has an empty chair, just like we have an empty chair in the earthly realm. And we sit in that chair and we sup with the Father. Then all of a sudden, we become rewired, reprogrammed, rejuvenated, restored. And then we have the ability to go back and look at the earthly table and say, okay, I understand what this really means now. I get it. You know, I can't focus on my own table. I've got to go to God's table because God's the one that can heal me, right? So anyway, that I'd want to see if you all resonated with that. And Brent, I'm so glad to have you on Father's Day. You flew in. You didn't have to, and I want to publicly thank you for doing that. You could have flown on to someplace else, but thanks for flying in and celebrating Father's Day.
Well, absolutely. I'm so grateful to have you as my dad, and I say that not just publicly, but I say it privately as well. But I think you've really given us, you know, an opportunity. You've really opened up the door for us as kids, you know, given us lots of opportunities. And I think you've even, maybe the things that you wanted to do different that your dad didn't do to you, I think that you've really tried to reverse that, you know, and kind of change those generational patterns, which is huge. So I appreciate you. I'm very proud of you. Have you as my dad.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that, son. Thank you so much. Okay, so we're going to be praying for people this morning. Shanita, do you have a list of people that need to be prayed for? First of all, praise report.
I sure do, yeah. And a thought from 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. While knowledge makes us feel or look important, it's love that brings us to full stature. And for you, honey, my tribute to you is, I mean, you've had so much success as a business person and as an artist and as an evangelist, but it's the love that I've seen, the love of God expanding through your life these last years, especially, that make you who you are, make me so proud of you. So we have praise reports coming in. You all were praying for Pete, who was hospitalized, and he's out. You prayed for Jan, who was hospitalized. She's out of the hospital. You've been praying for Greg and Sunshine's trip, and that's been successful. And let's see, I have some thoughts from people who shared about their fathers. And are you reading those now, or
I can. I've just got a couple here that I will read. You know what? I think let's read them on Underground. Let's do read them on Underground. Natalie says, in Canada, my dad was very kind, soft-spoken, funny. He delivered firewood to widows and stayed with my very difficult mom, who he wanted to leave. Loved my dad, blessed his soul, passed away 17 years ago. And there's a picture of him. And Charlotte says, my father's name is Charlie Richardson. He was a truly good man, a gentle and loving soul, who always willing to help others and do what he could do. He served his country proudly as a veteran in World War II. God bless him. God bless you, Charlotte. I feel incredibly blessed to have him as my father. This is Joseph in the UK. I really thought on it long and hard, as I've had three dads, and the only honest thing I can write is about my new dad, my heavenly father. As I thought on all these memories, it was hard to choose, but the best thing about my father is that he has the most amazing listening ears, that every day he teaches me all things the three dads never did. Amen, Joseph. That's exactly what we were talking about. And then we've got one here from Leanne. She's got two fathers here, and she says, she's got pictures of her father. Says, okay, and then we got one from Denise. My dad was my hero. I would sit at his knee and listen to tales of his life. He grew up in a boys' home from the age 7 to 17. At 17, he got into trouble with the judge and offered him to go into the Navy to stay out of jail. He was in the Korean War. They were married 64 years. This is from Denise, and his name is William Mondragon, 1930 to 2020. How old was he then? That would have been, is that 80, 90 years old? Really? Wow. Okay, God bless you, Denise. And then we got one more here. Two more, actually. Sam in Belize. After taking lessons for about 3 years, my first piano teacher told my dad that he was wasting his money because I had no talent. My parents set me down and explained what my father had been told and asked me what I thought we should do. I mean, he said, let's get a new teacher. That's exactly what they did. So they supported him. God bless you, Sam in Belize. Okay. Anybody we need to pray for?
Yes. Yeah, we are praying for Shannon's healing from cancer, and for Greg and Sunshine, for Resurrection Warriors Dad's salvation, for Joseph's healing. You prayed for Kayla. She is back with her husband. So thank you for praying for her. And at the jail ministry, Crystal shares that Amy gave her life back to the Lord, and she's going to be baptized tomorrow. And so we are just so grateful to be able to lift you up in prayer. Tomorrow will be the eulogy for Robert's son-in-law. This is his third son-in-law that he has buried, and this son-in-law leaves six young children behind.
Yeah.
And that'll be in Cincinnati tomorrow. We'll be praying for that and for healing in relationships. And Tony's birthday is coming up at the end of the month. Happy early birthday to you, Tony.
All right. Happy birthday. And we're going to go into the Lord with prayer. Before we do, just want to give you all the chance that if God lays on your heart to pray for us, encourage us, and donate and or donate, go to davidhebner.tv/give or text CHOSEN, the word CHOSEN, to 91999 or call 844-806-0006. And Shanita, you also have a phone number too. You want me to give a 615?
Yeah, people can reach out by text if or voicemail if they don't use email. That's 615-861-9659. 615-861-9659. It should be on the website, davidhebner.tv.
Exactly. And so we're getting ready to go underground. Don't forget, sign up. We got over 1,000 shows now and on all these different topics. And we also have Last Evangelist, episode 1, 2, and 3 is coming out. 3 is coming out next month. I'm excited about that. It's called The Blood. It deals with mind control. I don't want to give it away. Okay. So this morning we learned, at least I learned, that there is a table that God sits at, the Father. There's an empty chair, and that chair belongs to me. I'm now sitting in it with my relationship with the Father. The issue, and I want to address this real quick, I get too many people coming to me saying, David, we can't get the Father to the Father except through Jesus. That is true. But Jesus said, when you're looking at me, you're looking at the Father. So it's like, this is the issue, is that, yes, we can go to the Father. We're supposed to go to the Father. But when you sit down in the chair, guess who's sitting next to you? Jesus. When you're looking at the Father, guess who you're looking at? Jesus. So don't think that you're not allowed to approach the Father. The Father is not some Wizard of Oz somewhere, you know, Munchkin land. It is God, our heavenly Father, who wants to have a relationship with you and I, who has an empty chair, but now the chair is filled. Okay, Brent, we got just a minute here, but I'd like for you to pray us out, if you don't mind, Brent. Can you hear me?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, let's do it. Father, we just thank you so much for this time, and we just thank you so much for Father's Day, Lord, that we get to call you Father. And even in Revelation, where it says that I will be their God and I will call them son, that they will be a son to me. And we realize that you call us sons and daughters. And so we just even ask right now, as I'm praying, Father, that any healing needs to happen in any of our hearts through this message and encountering you as a Father and getting healing from our physical fathers, that you would just bring that healing. God, if we need to talk to our physical fathers about certain things or forgive or open up our heart or make an effort to reignite a relationship or initiate that, once again, I ask that you kindle that fire again, Lord, and let us be the ones to take the humble road and make the first move. And so thank you, Father, for being a Father. And we just pray for all these prayer requests, Father, that have been mentioned this morning, losing loved ones and people that have birthdays and people that aren't feeling good. We thank you for your anointing upon them and your hand. And just thank you for my dad and for my mom and the work that they're doing. And we ask for your continued perseverance and just strength upon them. And so we just bless you, Father, this morning, and just thank you that we get to call you Abba, Father, as Romans 8 says. Father, we just praise you. Amen. Yes. Amen.
In Jesus' name, thank you. Amen, amen. Okay, David Jr., thank you so much. Love you, buddy.
Yeah, all right. Love you, Dad.
Bye-bye. All right, and I love you guys. I appreciate you all. If you would like any of the books that we have, I know I say this almost in every gathering, but you never know. Maybe there's somebody new. This is the story of my life in Hollywood, mind control, Nephilim, alien demon connection, SRA. This is how to use your true power in these last days. You can order these books, or you can also order the My Vaccine's the Blood of Jesus, and The Holy Spirit's My Booster. You can get that. And also we have all this different, if you want to support the ministry, hats and everything. You can go to David at davidhebner.tv/order, or you can call 844-806-0006, or you can just text the word CHOSEN to 91999. And we appreciate, you know, the support, and we